I left some things undone this morning. So what we're going to do tonight is look at two examples of enduring hardness. Two examples of what it means to endure hardness. And we're going to start in 2 Corinthians. And I promise I'm not going to keep you long. But I think it's going to be a couple of records that bless you and help you really see what it means to endure hardness. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Who comforteth us in all our tribulations. Remember this morning we talked about hupomeno. And it's an individual who, one, has the life of God living on the inside. And then it's a person who makes a decision that once they hear the word, they understand the word, and it's in them, they believe it, that nothing can move them away from it. Nothing can move them away from it, no matter what. The circumstances, the situations, it cannot move them off of the word. And so when the Apostle Paul says, the God of all comfort who comforts us in our tribulation, he knows that God is a God of comfort. We talked this morning about Romans chapter 15, remember verses 4 and 5, where it says, let, you know, patience worketh endurance. I mean, patience. Why struggle, Barry? Just go back to it. Verse 4. In chapter 5, it says, verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, or worketh endurance, worketh perseverance, worketh hupomeno, and hupomeno worketh experience, and experience hope. So because we are enduring, because we have perseverance, we get the experience of knowing that God is a God of all comfort. Because we stood on the word and we didn't back off. Who comforted us in all our tribulations. And the reason why he does that, so that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Remember we talked about this morning in 2 Thessalonians, how the believers were followers of God. Followers of Paul. And because they followed Paul, they became examples to Macedonia and Achaia. They became the type, they became the model that the believers in Macedonia and Achaia followed. Here, Paul is saying, we know that God comforts us in our tribulation. Because we know that, because we have experienced that, we are able to communicate that to those who need comforting. Who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Why is it for their consolation and salvation? Because they are, Paul is the example. Paul is the leader. Paul is the one they're looking to. So how he responds to the affliction, how he responds, is how the people are going to respond. And whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. For our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, and you don't get to be partakers of the suffering unless you're standing on the word. Because there's no reason for the enemy of the soul to throw things at you unless you are standing on the word. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also be of the consolation, of the comfort. Yes, you're going to go through the suffering, but you are going to receive the comfort from the God of all comfort. Verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. What Paul is describing, not only was he going through some things physically because of the Jews who were upset with him, that they considered him a traitor. You know, he was a Pharisee and now he's a Christian. So not only did he have to deal with them, but he had people in the church who were attacking his reputation, who were attacking what he was teaching. So this word trouble, it means Paul was under a lot of mental pressure because of all of these things going on. And they were so great, the Word of God says that I would not have you ignorant of our trouble, of all the things we had to endure in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. They were so great. It was pressure that was above anything that anyone has ever experienced. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. We were going through so much. The mental agony was so strong, we did not see a way out. We did not see a way out. But look at verse 9. Not only did we despair of life, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. I want you to get this picture. When Paul used the phrase, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, and we're going to get into Timothy for just a few minutes, 2 Timothy, where Paul tells him to endure the hardness of a good soldier. A Roman soldier, when he went into battle, he was to consider himself already dead. If he lived, that was fine. But he went into battle knowing there's a sentence of death on me. That's what a Roman soldier did. What Paul is telling us, we need to have the same kind of mentality. That when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to standing on the Word of God, I'm already dead. You can't do anything more to me. I'm already dead because I'm not moving. I'm not getting off the Word. I know what God's Word says. I am not moving. I'm already dead. That's the attitude we're supposed to have when it comes to the Word of God. The sentence of death is in us already when it comes to the things of this life, when it comes to the things of the world. But that is for us today. But when Paul was speaking this, he was really feeling it because of all of the issues that he was dealing with. And remember how when you get over into chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, he talks about all the things that happened to him. You know, he was in the deep and all those sort of things. And then he says, in addition to being beaten three times with 39 lashes, save one, I had the care of the churches. I had the care of the churches. This is playing a role in all of that. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. This is how we lived. We lived as if there is no return. There is no going back. There is no changing our mind. Because just like that Roman soldier, when you get on the battlefield, you cannot opt out. And Paul is saying, I have reached a point in my life, I cannot change my stance. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. He had a trust in God that regardless of what was going to happen, he knew that God would raise the dead. Now that doesn't mean if Paul got killed in battle, God was going to raise him. He's talking about eternal life. He's talking about eternal life. who delivered us from so great a death, and thus deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. We carry the sentence of death in ourselves, but we also know that God delivers. And we know, and our belief, our trust is that in whatever situation we find ourselves, God is going to deliver us again. That's the comfort that he talks about in verse 4. Knowing that God is going to deliver. We have to believe that the promises that we read in this book, God is going to deliver those promises. He stands behind them. We have to believe that. Otherwise, we're wasting our time, ladies and gentlemen. We're wasting our time. We might as well go to the colonel, the general, Jesus Christ, of the army, and says, I'm done. I don't believe this because I'm not seeing it in my life. And Jesus is going to look at him and say, that's the reason. You're opting out before you see them. Okay. How many of you have seen Star Wars? Okay. Do you remember the scene when Luke meets Yoda for the first time? And they're in the swamp. And Yoda tells Luke, I want you to raise the spacecraft. But he wants him to raise the spacecraft. Luke says, but what if I can't? And Yoda says, that's the reason you fail. Think about that. You already have in your mind doubt, and that's the reason you fail. And see, Paul had a sentence of death in his life. He had already declared the world dead, and that everything else was for the glory of God, for the glory, for the kingdom. That's what we have to do. If we have any doubts in our minds about what God's word says, about whether or not he's going to deliver on his promises, that is why we fail. Because we got doubt. Doubt and faith do not go together. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Well, go to chapter 2 first. Look at verse 3. Paul is telling Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier in Jesus Christ. Why did he tell him that? Let's go back to chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, verse 1, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, the promise of life, in which is in Christ Jesus. What promise of life is Paul talking about? Everything that life represents is in Jesus Christ, and that's a promise that we have. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, with whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. The reason Paul had Timothy in his prayers night and day. Timothy was the pastor of the church at Ephesus, which at that time was the largest church in Christendom. Okay? And so, in addition to being the largest church, Timothy was battling some issues. He was young, so he had elders who thought they knew better because they had been around longer. They had been in positions longer. He had people who wanted to be appointed to positions who were not qualified. And so all of this was coming at him. And he also had a lot of other things going on in Ephesus that were ungodly. And I'll just leave it at that. So Paul says, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Do you see the importance of parents and grandparents in this verse? I don't want that to go by without you seeing that. Okay? And I point that out to you because if you are not playing a role in your child's life like you should, you are going to be held accountable. I'm going to say that again. You are going to be held accountable. Even if your children don't want to hear it, even if your grandchildren don't want to hear it, you have the responsibility for telling them anyway. And then once you tell them, they become responsible. They become responsible. Because the Bible says you train up a child in the way he should go. It doesn't say you train a child and then make sure he does it. It just says you train them so that they'll know what is right and what is wrong. We can stay on that one a long time. Verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by putting on of my hands. Oh, folks, we got a lot of people in the church who need their gifts stirred. Big time. Big time. There are folks in the church, they know what God wants from them, but they have other plans. They have other plans instead of doing what God wants. That gift needs to be stirred up. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Paul is telling Timothy this because Timothy is experiencing this. Timothy is starting to experience some fear. And Paul is telling Timothy, God has not, that's not from God. Because God gives you power, and God gives you love, and God gives you a sound mind. So Timothy, let me remind you of that. And he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, part of the reason that Timothy is feeling this way, back in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said in verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in other words, in how you live, in charity, in faith, in spirit, in faith, and in purity, and in purity. That's how Timothy was supposed to carry himself. That was the advice that Paul gave him, that God gave him through Paul. Verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What we are reading, ladies and gentlemen, is the importance of having perseverance, the importance of standing on the word of God. That's what we are reading, the importance of enduring, because that is exactly what Timothy is facing. Verse 10, but before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. What death has Jesus abolished? What death has Jesus abolished? Is it physical death? Spiritual. And has he abolished spiritual death for everyone? No, he only abolished spiritual death for those who accepted him. That's who the spiritual death has been abolished for. If you don't accept Jesus, spiritual death is where you are headed. And has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. Paul says, if I look at the circumstances that I'm facing, the beatings, the care of the church, I can get down real easily. But I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. And who I believe overrides all this stuff. All this is temporary, ladies and gentlemen. All of this is temporary. Paul says, I know whom I have believed. And because I know that, I am persuaded. Remember, we talked about Abraham being fully persuaded this morning. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul is saying, everything I have laid out to my Father, he's going to keep that. It's a guarantee. I'm going to receive that. All these things I'm going through in this life, all the pressures, all the beatings and everything, my God knows what I'm doing. My God knows what I'm sacrificing. I have laid that at his feet. I have laid that at his feet. And I know that when my time comes, my God is going to remember what I have laid at his feet. Ladies and gentlemen, God knows what you are going through for the word's sake. He knows that. And I know sometimes it seems like it's not worth it. But it is worth it. Because see how you respond to the tribulations, to the troubles, to the afflictions can be a testimony for someone else. Because they are watching you. And I should not have to tell you that you know you are being watched. And not just by the enemy of the soul. There are other people watching you to see how you respond to situations. Hey, you talk about being a Christian. Let's just see how you respond when things happen that are not good. That's when you become an example. That's when you become a type, a model to be followed. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast, Timothy. Hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast the word, the line upon line teaching that you have received from me, Timothy. Hold it. Don't let it go, Timothy. No matter what's happening in your life, Timothy, what have you been taught? What have you been taught, Timothy? That should be our attitude. No matter what's going on, what have we been taught about God's word? That's what matters. That's what matters. Hold fast, Timothy, the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing, Timothy, which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Listen to what Paul is telling Timothy, the counsel he's giving Timothy. And then he says, Timothy, listen to me. Listen to me. I know what you're going through. Everyone has in Asia has turned away from me, Timothy. Everyone. Even Phygellus and Hermogenes, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord granted to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Thou, Timothy, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, be strong by means of the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And see, Paul knows something about being strong in grace, because he's going to... As Second Corinthians unfolded, he talked about going to the Lord three times over something. And the Lord says, Paul, my grace is sufficient. Everything you need, it's already been supplied through my grace, Paul. Paul knows what he's talking about when he tells Timothy, you be strong in that grace. You access that grace, Timothy, through your faith. You access it. Access it, Timothy. And the things that thou hast heard of me, and this word heard of, it means that, you know, you spent time with me, Timothy. It's not just a phone call here and there, but we spent hours together, Timothy, me sharing the word with you, breaking down the scriptures, helping you understand why God says this and what it means and how you can take it back to the church, Timothy. Those things which you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. That word commit, the same thing, Timothy, that I deposited in you, I want you to deposit in faithful men. I think about our pastor. That is what he does. He deposits into us. He deposits into us. And that's why he talks about things like giving, talking about born again, the five things about worship, because those are things, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, he's already deposited in us. Those are not new things. That sheet of paper that had those 10 things on it, he's already put those in us. It's now we are to be Timothy. The things that have been deposited into us, we are to deposit into faithful men. I want you to hear that. Faithful men. Paul didn't say, I want you to deposit those into the most talented. He didn't say, I want you to deposit those into the most handsome, the most beautiful. He says, I want you to deposit what I put into you into people who are going to be faithful. They're going to receive it, they're going to take it, and then they are going to make deposits in others. They are going to make deposit in others. That's why Paul could say, Timothy, all them in Asia, they left me, Timothy. But you know what? I know what I have given to God. I know, Timothy, what I have deposited in you. And I know you, Timothy, because I knew your grandmother, I knew your mother, I knew how you were raised. So I know, Timothy, that what I have deposited in you is not going to stop with you. You will deposit it in others. And you find faithful men. And see, faithful is so important. Faithful, you are faithful before you get the deposit. You have shown yourself faithful. You have demonstrated faithfulness. There are so many pastors in the body of Christ today. They will appoint men and women to positions who have not proven themselves faithful. Paul says, Timothy, the time that I spent depositing the Word of God into you, the time that I spent depositing the counsel from the throne room of grace into you, I'm not one, Timothy, who's going to waste my time. I did not waste my time, Timothy, because, see, you are faithful. And I want you to find people just like you. Just like you. The same deposit thou into faithful men who shall be able to teach line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, to others also. I want you, Timothy, to duplicate yourself when it comes to the Word of God that is in a person's life. Verse 3. Thou therefore, Timothy, endure the hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Notice he said, thou therefore endure the hardness. He's telling Timothy, now that you know what needs to be done, you can endure this. You can endure this, Timothy. You can hoopomone this, Timothy, because you know what needs to be done. And you know that after you do it, Timothy, it's not going to end with you. It's going to be replicated down the line over and over and over. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. In other words, Timothy, you have been chosen by God to be a soldier. You have been chosen by God, Timothy, to already be dead. To already be dead. And ladies and gentlemen, we have been chosen by God to already be dead. That's what it has. See, born again means you died to your old life. That's what born again means. Born again means that that life you had before you accepted Jesus, it's dead. It's gone. It no longer exists. That's why you are dead already to the world. You are dead to the world. And if you are dead to the world, ladies and gentlemen, the world cannot have an impact on you. Can I get an amen? Amen. I want to end with a word that the Lord gave about endurance. I think it's a word that's really going to bless you. It says endurance means the person could have chosen not to go through what he went through. He made a conscious decision not to walk away, not to back out. Why would he do that? Why would he make a decision to go through something? Now, the Lord is asking this question, right? Now, is he asking me that question for information? No. He's asking that question to get me to thinking. He saw past what was in front of him. He saw the benefits, the rewards of not wilting, of not giving an inch to the enemy of the soul. He prized what I could give him more than the temporary reprieve of not enduring. Endurance plays a role in seeing your faith becoming a manifest reality. Endurance keeps you from fainting in your minds because of what you see and because of what you hear. Is that not what we just read in 2 Timothy? Endurance lives in the realm of the Spirit. Endurance is part and parcel of the grace that I have given to my church. Without it, you would not be able to withstand the constant onslaught of the enemy. Without endurance, you would lead a life dominated by your soul and emotions and not by your new nature. Endurance is a critical key for you to see your world change. Notice I said your world. You see, as your world changes, as you change, you begin to walk into more and more of who you truly are. But it takes time. It takes endurance. It takes patience. Every day, you can walk into more and more of who you really are. Every day, you can walk into more and more of the grace that I have for you. But those steps every day means walking into the unseen. It means walking to a realm of the Spirit that will be new. But I say walk. I say don't stop. I say walk as fast as you can into my grace. Don't get sidetracked. Don't become fatigued. Don't let the things of the enemy draw your attention away from me. That's endurance. You continue to seek me when there's nothing in the natural that says something is happening. I'm going to read that one again. You continue to seek me when there's nothing in the natural that says something is happening. Press on anyway. Endure the hardships. Endure the disappointments. Endure the setbacks. But never, ever draw back. When you endure, there will come a day. This is so neat. When you endure, there will come a day when everything that you have been standing for, everything that you have laid at the altar, everything that you have put into my hands will be done. So endure. Don't give up. Keep standing. Keep your eyes on me. You will not be disappointed. Praise God. Praise God. The enemy of the soul does not want you to endure. He is banking on the fact that there's going to be enough cares in this life. There's going to be enough afflictions and persecution. We're going back to Mark chapter 4. There's going to be enough lust of other things that's going to draw you away from staying put on God's word. And I will tell you right now, 90, maybe 99% of the church has been pulled away through cares of this world, lust of other things, afflictions and persecutions. They are not standing put on God's word. I believe that I am talking to a group of people, sons and daughters of God Almighty, who are going to stand no matter how hot the water gets. When you make a decision that you're going to draw a line in the sand, you're telling God that, okay, he's ready, she's ready to have what heaven has been holding for her, for him or for her. When you draw a line in the sand, you're telling God that, Father, it does not matter anymore to me what this world has. It does not matter anymore. I'm not saying that when we draw a line in the sand, we put our heads in the sand and that we don't go to work when we have a job or we don't live, we don't clean our houses, things like that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that when it comes to the things of the Word of God, there is no compromise for us. We don't know any other way to live. We don't know any other way. If it goes against God's letters to us, then it doesn't stand for us. We don't know any other way. My prayer is that from now on, the only way you know is what is in this book. And you're not shy about letting people know that the Bible says this. The Bible says this. You don't argue with people. You don't have to argue. You just say, the Bible says this. And then they may want to argue. I made a decision long ago not to argue about the Bible. You can't win them. You cannot win those arguments. But when you say that this is what the Bible says, and then that's all you say, and you let it go at that, then you've done your job. You've done your job. Because you have stayed true to your Father and to your God. Amen. Mm-hmm.